You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
And welcome back, everybody, to TPC's 4th of July Spectacular. I guess the spectacular thing about it is that we're live at all tonight on the 4th of July. Yes, but indeed we are. Family waiting on me to get off and get back so we can shoot the fireworks tonight, and we're going to shoot them, and we're going to have a great time. That was the theme song to the movie Tombstone, which I watched again this week. Maybe my favorite Western. I know my dad always liked the movie Tombstone. What a great ensemble cast. Hard to believe they had that much talent in one movie. Kurt Russell, Michael Biehn, Sam Elliott, Val Kilmer, Bill Paxton, Stephen Lang, who played Stonewall Jackson in Gods and Generals, so many others. Powers Booth, a great Western. I was reading a little more about it this week after I watched it because that's what I like to do. And a little trivial knowledge for you, the gunfight at the OK Corral took place on October 26th, 1881. And, of course, this radio show was founded October 26, 2004. So a little trivial knowledge for you. If you get a chance to watch, it doesn't really have anything to do with Independence Day. We were playing a lot of that patriotic movie music in the first hour, but it's still a good movie and definitely a good soundtrack. So I cannot remember the last time I've had a Rush Limbaugh-type show where I just talk and talk and talk, and it's just me and you. But I got to tell you, I'm kind of enjoying it. Of course, I miss Keith. Don't worry, you're not going to be deprived of Keith. He's going to be coming on tonight in the third hour with Sam Bushman. They're going to be examining basically the events here in America this year and perhaps where we go from here. But I'll tell you one thing. I've said it just about every week since this insurrection began. We've been right about everything. A supporter of this program was rereading my book, which was written in June of 2010, 10 years ago. And he emailed to me an excerpt that I wrote 10 years ago, and this is what I wrote on page 43 of Racism Schmacism. We're allowing the least intelligent among us to use political correctness and the unmentioned but very real threat of riots to dictate what we can and can't do, say, or even think. Well, now, of course, ladies and gentlemen, a decade later, the riots are now very real indeed and proudly promoted. And all the cowards are folding. I was right about everything. I saw it coming before most did. My book was the first that I know of to point out that the word racist was being redefined to simply mean white person. Police now, for instance, are even now synonymous with the word racist. Cops are racist. Trump is racist. I'm a racist. You're a racist. Everybody's a racist. Everything is racist. And can't you see that you can't run far enough to escape it? Talking about that couple in St. Louis who had the horde break into their gated community. They came out with guns on their property, very much within their rights, according to the Castle Doctrine, and they were being threatened to be put under investigation because they would dare stand up and attempt to protect their property from the mob. And just everything that's imaginable is an insult. The new AP journalistic guidelines, you are to capitalize black when talking about black people, but white is to be lowercase because blacks represent a people and whites, you know, whites aren't really a people. They actually said that. It is such an offense to see black people and white people mentioned in the same sentence, and the B is capitalized in black and the white is lowercase. I mean, everything they can possibly imagine to do to insult us and to degrade us is being done. And what's the future look like? Well, I read this in Talkie Mag. I'd like to share it with you. How bad will things get? Some degree of really, 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 really bad. This isn't going to be like the Civil War, where at least you had a neat geographical dividing line. Geographically, it's going to be mostly urban versus rural. A county-by-county red and blue map of the 2016 presidential election would be a very good way to understand how this particular balloon is going to pop. The red has a lot more land and a lot more whites and a lot more guns. The blue has a lot more institutional and financial power and a lot more non-whites. And I hate to break this to you, but this is a race war. It's not Republicans versus Democrats. It's not East versus West. It's not individualism versus collectivism, Christians versus atheists, or any of the things that they're trying to say it's about. It's a race war. Why? Because the war's officially rallying cry starts with the word black. This isn't blue versus gray. This is everyone else versus white. Now, I don't want a race war. No one I know does. But one has obviously been declared. I didn't want to be right about all this, just as everyone knows they're going to die, but kind of has to pretend that they aren't, just so they can get out of bed in the morning. I knew all of this was coming, but I tried to pretend it would happen after I died. But now it's here. So what do? Do you shut up? Well, that doesn't work anymore. Even white silence is violence now, so they say. First, they made it so that every word out of your mouth is hate speech. Now, it's hate speech if you don't say anything at all. So they're not making it easy, are they? If you're silent, you're violent. You're going to have to be forced to choose sides. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that the stakes have never been higher and courage has never been in shorter supply. I see what you see. I have no illusions about what we're up against. The number of cowards and sellouts and traitors in our government, our schools, our churches, everywhere. It's astonishing. But know this, I'll never bend the knee. I will stand for you. I will stand for our ancestors. I'll fight for our future. I want to thank everyone. I made mention of this to Micah in the last hour when he called in. I want to thank everyone, including Micah, everyone who sent in financial support last month. You enable us to serve and continue to serve. Because of you, our work here at TPC continues to set an unapologetic example of how our people can carry themselves with their shoulders squared and with dignity and with honor. I'm blessed to have you in our corner. I want you to know that you're an inspiration to all of us who work on this radio broadcast. Come what may, we will do what we can to encourage you and to provide steady leadership during these dark and uncertain times. Whatever we must face, we will face it together. And for those of you who donated at the level significant to trigger the incentive gift, as I mentioned in the last hour, we're going to be sending off those gift packages on Monday. Now, you're all significant. Everyone who donated $1, $5, $10, $20, you're all part of this, and you're all stakeholders in what we do. And there's a lot of anonymous donors out there, like Jay in Texas and the Copperhead. Now, not the Copperhead that's been a part of this show, but there's another Copperhead up in Easton, Massachusetts, who always sends in a contribution every quarter. And a lot of you are anonymous. A lot of you are known to us. Donors in Chesterfield, Virginia, Arota, Virginia, Beecher, Illinois, Green Valley, Arizona, Cary, North Carolina, Chino, California, Fort Collins, Colorado, San Marcos, California, Travelers Rest, South Carolina. You know that's Scott over at Dixie Republic. Dallas, Texas, Collierville, Tennessee, Sarasota, Florida, Canada, Brazil, England, Beaumont, Texas, Millington, Tennessee, Perry, Florida, Bluntville, Tennessee. I could go on and on and on and on. Just about all 50 states were represented here in our second quarter fundraising drive. You're all responsible for this. You're all stakeholders. We love you. Never before, as somebody wrote to us this week, never before has our voice been more needed. And I'm thankful that we're able to provide it. Thanks to you. We'll be right back.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Co-Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
I'll never be able to get to them all, folks, but I want to read off just a few more locations from which we received support in recent weeks. And by no means, if your city isn't going to be called out, does it mean that we appreciated your support any less. This is just the list I have in my hands, just some of the people. It's random. I don't remember where I left off, but it is a holiday show. We're doing things a little differently tonight. So let's give a shout out and our appreciation to our listener in Perry, Florida, Bluntville, Tennessee, Callahan, Florida, Raleigh, North Carolina, Taunton, Massachusetts, Mardella Springs, Maryland, Marietta, Georgia, Hopwood, Pennsylvania, Cabot, Arkansas, Charleston, South Carolina, Hepzibah, Georgia, Boca Grande, Florida, Goldsboro, North Carolina, Santa Rosa, California, Bellefontaine, Ohio, Franklin, Tennessee, Weatherford, Texas, St. Louis, Missouri, Ephrata, Washington, Jersey City, Troutdale, Virginia, Gaithersburg, Maryland, Hot Springs, South Dakota. You thought I was going to say Arkansas. Germantown, Tennessee, Canton, New York, Sharpsville, Pennsylvania, Mesquite, Nevada, Greer, South Carolina, Piedmont, Oklahoma, Bogota, New Jersey, Gallatin, Tennessee. We're thinking about you, Rich and Janice. Loretto, Tennessee. Maryville, Tennessee. Granite City, Illinois. We could go on and on. TPC Nation is strong. Let's read just a couple of handwritten notes that have come in, if we can. Dear James, here's a contribution towards your work there at TPC. From the land of Chaz. Yes, this is Brett in Seattle. You and Keith do a great job. Enjoyed the recent interview with Jesse Lee Peterson. Yes, he was great, wasn't he? Happy 40th. Well, thank you so much. Brett in Seattle. And then how about this one from a young lady over in East Tennessee who writes, your reward for your sacrifice is deeply grounded in the knowledge of your moral correctness. The absolute calling from our Lord that won't allow you to not tell the truth, and the hope that your work will help our people rise before it's too late and avoid total annihilation. May he bless your dedication, the purity of your intentions, and the love of your sacrifice. That was addressed to both me and Keith from a lady in East Tennessee. That means so much. All of your notes if we didn't get a chance to read them on the air, I want you to know how much they mean to us. This just came in today, just today. With the heightened, it's addressed to James and the TPC gang, with the heightened assault on European heritage and people, your voice is needed now more than ever. Yes, I think I just mentioned that, or mentioned you mentioning that. Keep up the good work. That comes from Keith, another Keith, this one also in Maryland. And I got a nice email today from Nathan up in Vermont. And I want to thank you for what you said. I don't have my email pulled up right now, so I can't read it here in the studio. But I want you to know that what you said meant a lot. And I'm looking now here at the entire list of people who stood up and showed their support. Folks, if you haven't shown your support, we need it. Join the list of those who have. People like Roseanne. And well, if I start reading names, we'll never get through this. But listen. We love you all. Catherine, a new listener, or perhaps not a new listener, but at least a new contributor, Catherine down in Texas. And it's just really, really moving. I want you to know it's just very moving and very humbling to be able to host this show. There is nobody on earth that I would rather be than who God made me to be. Because he gave me you, and he gave us to one another, and at the risk of sounding sentimental or whatever, I mean, you know I am, but it means a lot. It means a lot. We have suffered a lot. We've sacrificed a lot, but it has brought us all together, and that is a treasure. Boy, there's nothing they could do to me that would make me regret the choices I've made in life. I am so proud, so proud. What else is going on? Well, the coronavirus. Let's talk about that. Maybe we should talk about that for just a couple of minutes here before the next break. I mean, they're back on that again, are they not? I mean, they are back on that in a big way. Now, what do we know about the coronavirus? It's very interesting. We've made mention of this a couple of times before. What do we know about it? It not only does it not spread at Black Lives Matter riots or at a homosexual so-called pride gatherings, not only does it not spread there, it can't spread there. It can't. It's a miracle of science. But I'll tell you what it really is. It just goes to show, and I know I said this last week, but it's worth repeating. The scientific community, these so-called doctors, are as much corrupt. They are as corrupt and as big a liar as anybody you'll find behind a pulpit, anybody you'll find behind a microphone, anybody in a university setting. The scientific community is totally bogus. I always thought that this whole thing was overhyped. Always thought that it was much ado about nothing. Yeah, maybe a cold, it's something, but it's not worth shutting down anything, much less everything. I know a couple of people right now who have tested positive with it, and they either don't know that they're sick, they're completely asymptomatic, or yeah, they're a little sick, but it's not nearly as bad as the flu, and they're certainly not going to die. Shut down the entire world for this? And now, let me tell you something. Here in my local area, you have to wear a mask to go anywhere. You can't go into any establishment without wearing a mask. I have still not put on a mask this entire time. My wife is forced to put one on when she goes in for her monthly ultrasound. They won't let me in, but she's forced to wear. And it makes her blood pressure spike. She feels claustrophobic. She feels put upon, and it makes her blood pressure spike, which is certainly dangerous. But to go in and see these people at the supermarket. We went into a supermarket the other day. Only people not wearing our masks. When this thing first started. It was like, okay, well, there's a couple of people wearing masks. That's kind of comical. And then it was like, well, about half the people are wearing masks. Now it's like everybody, it just goes to show how easily people will be taken for a ride. How cowardly, how malleable these people are to believe and to buy into this stuff. If you get it, you're going to be fine. It just goes to show how quickly they'll surrender to the state, to anything. Just so cowed by their own fear. And the ability for the media and these corrupt institutions, including the institution of healthcare now, and science itself to manipulate this whole thing about global warming now is the coronavirus. It's all fake. And what's the church doing? You know, the left is actively, openly trying to destroy you. These churches are closing and having like every other pew being occupied, and people wearing masks, and you can't fellowship, and you can't shake hands, and you can't send the kids to nursery or children's church. But at the same time, you know, there was a homosexual pride gathering in Chicago, thousands and thousands and thousands of people just shoulder to shoulder. Hey, no coronavirus threat there. And these churches are just backing down like they always do. They're so pathetic. They hate you. They hate you. It's time to wake up and fight back. Stop cowering to these status clowns. You know, we were talking about some of the things Trump said that are good. Action notwithstanding, but some of the things he says, you'll never hear another president say, at least not in the short term, until things change and the reckoning is at hand. But never say never. Things are going to change. I know we're going to win this thing in the long run. So when I say we'll never have another president who says stuff like this, we'll never have another one until there's, you know, wild change in this in our hearts and in our minds and in our thinking. But Donald Trump said in recent days, Black Lives Matter is a symbol of hate. When you write Black Lives Matter, it's a symbol of hate. It's true. It's true. It's just, you know, it's not like he's the sitting president or anything and can actually do anything about it. But at least he's saying the right thing, I guess. Trump's law and order. Law and order is white cops getting charged with murder. And somebody said something funny. There was some great indecency that happened. There's just video after video of blacks assaulting, beating whites. I mean, it's too many to count. And somebody said, well, this is a great time for a law and order tweet from the president. Yeah, it'd be nice if we actually had it, though. We'll be right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
On this 4th of July, amid the coronavirus pandemic and nationwide Black Lives Matter protest, American patriotism has fallen to its lowest point in over 20 years, according to a new Gallup poll. Pride in the United States is now the lowest it's been since the analytics company first measured. The survey shows 70% of U.S. adults are proud to be Americans, but in the new poll, just 45% said they are extremely proud. This marks the second straight year the number of extremely proud Americans fell below the majority level. Results had relatively held steady for years, between 81 and 92%. Just 22% of Democrats say they're extremely proud to be an American. However, 76% of Republicans and 41% of independents say that they are currently extremely proud. Americans say they are least proud of our country's political system and health and welfare system. This is USA Radio News.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by June 30th. You can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The World Health Organization says it's ending a trial into whether the anti-malaria drug hydroxychloroquine helps patients hospitalized with COVID-19. WHO said that it's accepted the recommendation from the committee overseeing the trial to discontinue testing for hydroxychloroquine and a drug combination used to treat HIV and AIDS. The drugs were being compared with standard care for hospitalized patients. WHO said a review showed the medicine produces little or no reduction in the mortality of hospitalized COVID patients. The coronavirus has put a damper on this year's 4th of July celebrations in New York City, but some things stayed the same. Joey Chestnut and Mickey Sudu repeated as men's and women's champions at the Nathan's famous 4th of July hot dog eating contest. Chestnut set a record downing 75 wieners and buns in 10 minutes, and Sudu downed 48 and a half. New Yorkers were urged to avoid large holiday gatherings in order to prevent a surge in coronavirus cases. There were more than 720 new confirmed cases. This is USA Radio News.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back with you again. Coming up in the third hour, I am going to leave a little early tonight to go rejoin my family. Now, don't think that I completely put my family on the back burner. Not many things are more important than my listening audience. In fact, very few things in the world. You know how much you mean to me. But if anything meant more to me than you, it's my wife and children. But don't think I totally neglected them. We've had a great day today up until the time I had to come to work, and we're going to have a great rest of the night. And we did shoot some fireworks last night, so I'm trying to just spread it all out, you know what I mean? But we're having a good time. And in the third hour, Keith Alexander and Sam Bushman will take us to the house this evening. It is Sam Bushman's birthday, ladies and gentlemen. If you're thankful for this show, be thankful for Sam Bushman. And I want to wish my brother again a happy birthday and a happy 4th of July. Sam and Keith will be with you in the third hour. But first, we're going to do the next couple of segments in honor of Jared Taylor, who was obliterated from YouTube this week. He's already lost his Twitter account. And Jared has been a longtime friend of mine, one of my best friends, and he's one of the most mild-mannered gentlemen you'll ever meet. And when I say mild-mannered, I don't mean he's meek. He is a fighter for our people, and he's an inspiration and definitely a leading light, but he is every bit a gentleman, and it's just amazing that he is one of the ones they've chose for obliteration and total censorship. So in honor of Jared Taylor losing his YouTube channel this week, we are going to play one of his videos. How did it come to this? Jared retraces the steps.
Hello, I'm Jared Taylor. How did it come to this? And by this, I mean not just the 10 days of rioting after the death of George Floyd, but the psychological collapse of whites that followed. Billions of dollars in riot damage can be repaired. The psychological damage is more serious. Consider this.
Excuse me. Hey, excuse me. I work for Black Lives Matter. A white person is getting on their knees. That shows solidarity for the situation. The situation. And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
This young couple agreed to lick the boots of blacks.
For what their forefathers have
done. That's right.
You understand?
Right.
Keep going, man. Keep it coming, man. You understand?
Right.
Keep it coming. Only a couple more, two more. And Salaki, the cameraman, you can't forget.
I got him.
Can't forget how y'all's a hob over here.
This woman does the same.
This is your future. You are going into captivity. You are going into slavery for what your forefathers did. Not just because we said it.
I don't believe there has ever been a time in the history of the world when a black person could persuade a white person just passing by to get on his knees right there on the sidewalk. There was a similar, maybe not quite so degrading ceremony in Congress. Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senator Charles Schumer stayed on their knees for 9 minutes to honor George Floyd. They wore African kente cloth and bowed their heads. George Floyd was a criminal with a long record. If American senators and congresswomen have ever knelt like this to honor another American, I haven't heard of it. Not George Washington, not John Kennedy, not anybody. Have they ever even knelt on the cold, hard floors of Congress to worship God? I doubt it. When a nation is defeated, it pays tribute. America has been defeated. Looters pillaged Apple stores all over the country. And Apple's reaction? It promised $100 million for black causes. Here are blacks looting ritzy stores in Beverly Hills and Santa Monica. I'm sure that like virtually every major corporation in America, they have also promised to pay tribute. Do you think that after the race riots of the 1960s, or even the LA riots of 1992, businesses rewarded the people who sacked their stores? No. This is a new era. What is behind this unprecedented surrender? It's a delusion. I would even call it a kind of a madness. It's the belief that the United States is viciously racist. Here's a headline from The Guardian. In America, black deaths are not a flaw in the system. They are the system. It's now common on the left to think that blacks are treated so horribly that they are justified in rioting, and that anyone who opposes looting and arson is a racist. Joyce Kenner has been the principal of Whitney Young High School in Chicago for 25 years and worked for Al Sharpton before that. Here she is with her arm raised at a school event. When she urged her students to demonstrate but stay away from violence and looting, disappointed alumni got up more than 800 signatures on a petition calling for her to resign. David Shore is a data analyst for Civis Analytics, whose job was to try to help Democrats win elections. He tweeted a reference to a paper that found that in 1968, when there were race riots, it raised the Republican share of the vote. He was worried that the George Floyd riots might make people vote Republican this year, too. Work colleagues and clients said this was anti-black and threatened their safety. Mr. Shore apologized, but Civis Analytics undertook a review of the episode. A few days later, Shore was fired. This is new. A certified anti-racist was punished for pointing out that looting and arson might hurt Democrats. How did blacks achieve this exalted status? Why do white people kneel before them, kiss their boots, pay ransom money to the people who loot their stores, and lose their jobs if they criticize black mob violence? Strange as it may seem, this is the inevitable logic of an idea that has its roots as far back as the Declaration of Independence. The phrase, all men are created equal, has been more shamelessly misinterpreted than any words in all of American history. But you could argue that those words put in motion what we are seeing today. Equality has been on the march ever since. And by the mid-20th century, it had reached a point that would have shocked the founding fathers. In 1950, the United States put its signature on a UNESCO document that stated, for all practical social purposes, race is not so much a biological phenomenon as a social myth. The next year, the United States endorsed a UNESCO declaration that said, available scientific knowledge provides no basis for believing that the groups of mankind differ in their innate capacity for intellectual and emotional development. In June 1965, at a commencement speech at Howard University, President Lyndon Johnson laid out the principles for what euphemistically became known as affirmative action. He said this, "We seek not just equality as a right and a theory, but equality as a fact and equality as a result. To this end, equal opportunity is essential, but not enough. Not enough." The president pointed to black-white differences in achievement and explained their cause. They are solely and simply the consequence of ancient brutality, past injustice, and present prejudice. And even when he mentioned the breakdown in black families, he said, for this, most of all, white America must accept responsibility. The message was clear. Blacks are not responsible for failure of any kind. Whites are. And over the years, it became impossible to take a different view.
Well, that's Jared Taylor. We're going to play the second half of that particular video, How Did It Come to This, in the next segment, which will be my final segment of the night. And then we're going to turn it over to the more than capable hands of a pro's pro, Sam Bushman and Keith Alexander. Keith will get some play tonight on the 4th of July as well. But, yes, you know, that the whole thing, all men are created equal, you got to take that in the context in which it was written. When Thomas Jefferson wrote all men are created equal, he wasn't talking about all men. He wasn't talking about all of the different races of humanity. What he was talking about in that context was, clearly, the American revolutionaries, or however you want to put them, what would become the American founding fathers, were equal to King George. It was basically a sibling rivalry of, hey, we're as good as you are, and we're going to prove it. We're equal to you, and we're going to build our own nation, and we're going to do this. And that was the context. And so, of course, Jared's right in that it's been so misinterpreted, so taken out of context. But, again... it was a wonderful attempt. I don't think that the founding fathers, I mean, God knows they couldn't have seen where it was all going to go. But they were, to an extent, a little bit drunk on that Enlightenment Kool-Aid themselves. And, well, I'm not saying it's their fault, but I guess in hindsight, we all could have done better, right? We'll be right back.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, if I haven't said it already, my friends, I want to tell you what a privilege it is to be able to spend every Saturday night with you, but especially to spend a holiday Saturday night with you, to receive the notes and the emails from people letting me know that they're listening to this show live tonight as they grill out and shoot fireworks. I mean, what an honor. What an honor to be together, and we should be thankful that we are together, and there are still things in this godforsaken, not godforsaken, but this godless age that we can be thankful about, and certainly this is one of them, that we still have one another. I mentioned Nathan up in Vermont. It failed to occur to me that I can access my email from my phone, so I'm actually reading this from my phone, but this is what Nathan wrote from Vermont. It's more important now than ever that we have strong leaders like you and Keith during this Bolshevik revolution. I'm proud to support your efforts in my small way. If it isn't obvious that the conservative strategy of retreat, bargaining, and capitulation is an utter failure, I don't know what it will take. Hear, hear. You can't make a deal with people who want you dead. The gotcha names of that they play ultimately mold people with good instincts into progressives who like low taxes and Second Amendment. When Republicans give us the conservative case for gay marriage and why MLK was actually a Republican and some statues and flags should come down as long as it's done legally, why are we supporting these people? Nathan continues, they don't answer to us. They do the bidding of their Zionist masters. As long as we blindly vote for them, why are we surprised? The only promises they ever keep are the ones to Sheldon Adelson and Paul Singer. We've descended so far into this kosher sandwich that not wearing a ridiculous mask to show the fealty of the cult of COVID-1984 feels like a revolutionary act. What a letter. It's time to take off the mask and tell people that white lives matter. Well, Nathan, that may be the email of the day, and I thank you for sending it, and I agree with you so much, and I appreciate you so much. Talking about Jared Taylor, we are in honor of his being taken off YouTube this week. Now, I'm not talking about a video or two. I'm talking about his entire channel. You know, this gentleman's gentleman has been taken off. You know, if you're on there and you're talking about the killing of white police officers, you can stay. That's not a problem. But you better not say anything sensible, and you sure as well better not tell the truth. I can remember, of course, great memory in my life of being with Sam Bushman and Jared Taylor and Kurt Crosby on a bitterly, and I mean bitterly cold, January day in 2017 in Washington, D.C. We were right there at the very front of Donald Trump's inauguration as Jared Taylor wrote the article for American Renaissance, AmRen.com. If he had a baseball, he could have lobbed it a few feet and hit the president. That's how close we were. And it was a wonderful time. It was a time of hope, a lot of that hope in terms of what Trump would be able to do for us has dissipated. As Nick Griffin said on this show, and it's been a great year of broadcasts on TPC, as Nick Griffin said, the time for change at the ballot box is over, but our people are not over. Our people are not finished. We will rise, and we will adapt, and we will ultimately win. But it would have been nice to have been able to do it by conventional means, and it would have been nice if anybody, would dare speak for the majority. But they don't. But we do. And Jared Taylor does. And let's listen to the last half of his video. How did it come to this?
Blacks rioted every summer for four straight years in the 1960s. The Kerner Commission was appointed to look into the causes and found that the problem was white people. What white Americans have never fully understood, but what the Negro can never forget, is that white society is deeply implicated in the ghetto. White institutions created it, white institutions maintain it, and white society condones it. The problems of blacks were all our fault. So we spent trillions of dollars on welfare and education, gave blacks preferences in hiring and college admissions, hunted down and denounced every trace of racism, set up black role models, made Martin Luther King a national hero, and we elected a black president. Nothing changed. Blacks are still way behind, and it's still our fault. Ibram X. Kendi is the director of the Anti-Racist Research and Policy Center at American University. He wants an amendment to the U.S. Constitution that would make it clear that racial inequity is evidence of racist policy, and the different racial groups are equal. Professor Kendi, we don't need an amendment. That's already what everyone in America must absolutely believe. Blacks and whites are inherently equal in every way, so any difference in achievement is our fault. Whites make blacks kill each other at 12 times the rate whites kill each other. White people make black people have so many out-of-wedlock babies that their illegitimacy rate is close to 80%. Whites are grinding blacks down so badly that their median household wealth is just one-tenth that of whites. Well, wait a minute. Who are the horrible people who are doing these things? Who is making black people shoot each other and get pregnant? This country has been completely fumigated for racists. And in fact, not even the wildest anti-racists can find people who are doing those things. Of course, when they do find someone who says all lives matter at the wrong time, they treat him as if he wanted to bring slavery back. The truth is, white people don't make black people misbehave. How would they do that even if they wanted to? And so, to explain black failure, we had to invent racism without racists. That's the purpose of fancy ideas like systemic racism, implicit bias, and white privilege. Lefties admit that you can have racism without racists. Robin DiAngelo is today's hottest anti-racism guru. She scoffs at what she calls the simplistic idea that racism is limited to individual, intentional acts committed by unkind people. That means you can be an earnest, anti-racist white person and still oppress black people. As she says, white progressives do indeed uphold and perpetrate racism. So all those white people walking around with signs that say Black Lives Matter, they're perpetrating racism? How? A sociology professor wrote in USA Today, all college students should take a mandatory course on black history and white privilege. Emily Walton teaches a course like that at Dartmouth. She says it's her white students who learn the most because, and I quote, they understand that being a good person does not make them innocent. You can be a genuinely good person, but you're still the reason why black people are poor and shoot each other. And you will never be innocent. As author and activist Tema Okum explains, from white racist to white anti-racist is a lifelong journey. Well, how do white people who are trying so hard to be good become a deadly menace to blacks? Robin DiAngelo has the answer. We are, as she puts it, conditioned into a white supremacist worldview. She says that the ubiquitous socializing power of white supremacy cannot be avoided. The messages circulate 24/7. What? I don't see those messages. Do you see those messages? Who's sending them? Space aliens? White supremacy is like witchcraft or the Black Death. It's an evil force that circulates 24/7. I guess it emanates from the minds of even the best and most virtuous white people. And black people are such helpless puppets that they collapse into degeneracy at the slightest touch of this evil force. This kind of nuttiness used to be bottled up on college campuses, but now ordinary people talk about white privilege and say cuckoo things like white silence equals violence. So America has a new theory of race relations. Whites make life miserable for black people without even trying, even when they are doing their best to be good to blacks. It's just the way we are. We can't help it, no matter how hard we try, and we can't be cured. This is obviously crazy, but it's what we're stuck with when we have no other explanation for unequal results in a country that requires, that demands complete equality. Is it possible? Is it conceivable that unequal racial results might have something to do with the nature of blacks, with how they are and what they do? No. Impossible. Even to ask that question will make 17 black people shoot each other in Chicago this weekend. And asking it will get you thrown off the internet. And that's how it came to this. And there is no solution. No amount of bootlicking. No amount of money. Not even every white person on his knees every day can solve this problem. Eventually, it'll solve itself. As the Roman poet Horace wrote more than 2,000 years ago, you may drive out nature with a pitchfork, but she will always return.
Ladies and gentlemen, we could have called Jared Taylor tonight, but when he makes videos like that, it saves me a dime. Thank you, folks, for allowing me to spend 2 hours of my 4th of July with you. The great Sam Bushman and Keith Alexander are going to take you to the house tonight. Stay tuned for them. I'm fans of these guys. I'll be listening the third hour coming up next.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.